Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m., our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, you can call in 319-527-6204 and call in your prayer request at this time. At this time, I'd like to pray, and after the prayer, invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
window.
One accord.
don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise for God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. It is now time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, There is No Condemnation. Praise be to God for those who are in me. Amen. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. And it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Praise be to God. My second scripture reading is coming from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. And it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Praise God. My third scripture reading is coming from John chapter 10, verse 27. And it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. My fourth scripture reading is coming from Psalms 23, verses 1 through 3. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Praise be to God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. Again, the title is, There is No Condemnation for Those Who Are in Me. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Not many Christians know how to live in this radical freedom, which is their birthright. I died to set you free. Live freely in me. To walk along the path of freedom, you must keep your mind firmly fixed on me. Many voices proclaim, this is the way for you to go. But only my voice tells you the true way. If you follow the way of the world with all its glitter and glamour, you will descend deeper and deeper into an abyss. Christian voices also can lead you astray. Do this. Don't do that. Pray this. Pray that. If you listen to all those voices, you will become increasingly confused. Be content to be a simple sheep, listening for my voice and following me. I will lead you into restful green pastures and guide you along paths of righteousness. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is unto me. And that concludes our devotional message. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. If you feel like you want to join us for this Bible class, please feel free to join us where we attempt to dissect each verse of the Bible. Amen. So God be bless you and thank you for tuning in to Pray One for Another. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play a selection by KCJ, Fill Me Up. Praise God.
If you provide the fire, sacrifice. If you pour out your spirit,
overflow in my heart and permeate all my soul, all my soul is yours, all my soul, all my soul, all my soul, all my soul is yours.
No. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, Father God, I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. Father God, I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. Father God, I pray for the increase of our congregation. Father God, I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. Father God, I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. Father God, I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations, receive deliverance. Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness, receive the light of your salvation. Father God, we thank you for supplying our every need. And Father God, all these blessings we ask and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. And amen. Praise God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. At this time, I will play another selection. God is Sustaining Me by the Wiki Tones.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, this is simple. We gonna have church. When I look back on my life, and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning, and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God.
Midnight hour,
sustaining me
when I can't
in the night
sustains me.
Trouble,
God, it sustains
trouble
me.
Trouble on the mind.
Jesus sustains me.
Sometimes your friends,
he is sustaining me.
Turn your back on you.
Sustains me.
Sometimes
he
people don't do you right. Deep.
He is sustaining me.
Deep. It hurts and pains.
Sustains me.
All of a sudden.
He is sustaining me.
The Spirit brings the heart to remember it.
Sustains me. God is sustaining me.
And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful.
God is sustaining me. God is sustaining me.
What a mighty good God we serve.
God is sustaining me. God is sustaining me.
Oh, yes, he is.
And no matter the death, he always brings me.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. Thank you, Lord. And as we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play a short selection. Amen. Praise be to God.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. Set up. I'm moving. Yeah, yeah. Anybody got a price? Anybody got a price? Anybody got a price, yo?
Amen. Again, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. In the meantime, I will play another selection. I like to give our speakers at least 15 minutes on grace period. And after that, if our speaker does not show up, or is unable to be with us, then I will come forth with a word. Amen.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's realize this together.
No matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control,
and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
the problem may be,
he's in control,
and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in him I live,
say like the best of people.
Come
on, lift them up in here.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what the problem may be.
Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live.
Can you believe that? Sing this with us. Let the people. Come on, lift him up.
Oh, lift him up, rejoice.
And shout unto him.
And shout unto him.
The Lord you call him.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
And that concludes our sweet hour prayer. At this time, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Amen. Boy, it's
God
been a while.
Bless you. How are you?
God bless you. I'm doing okay.
Oh, that's
praise
good.
God. Yes.
Praise
how are
God.
You?
I'm a little tired, run down. I was out with my sister today, and it just threw my whole schedule off. You know, and I got back here late. I couldn't get on the rehearsal, and I started Block Talk late, but everything is good. Yes. It's doing okay.
Yeah, everything is good. God is
so
still in control. God is still in control. God
yep.
is still
God
in,
is
control.
In control. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you
Amen.
Know, it all worked out. I'm still here. I mean, the traffic.
Yeah.
Are you barking at me? The traffic is terrible out there.
Yeah, that has definitely been lately.
Yes.
Has been a really big thing in the city now. Anyway, so let's open in prayer and get started. Dear God, we come to you, Lord God, with love, and we have so much love and for you, Lord God, because you are so worthy, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for the times, for our ups, Lord God, and we thank you for our downs, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the times that things don't work out the way we want them to work out, Lord God, but we just have peace in knowing, Lord God, that however things work out, you're always in control, Lord God, and we thank you and we praise you for that, Lord God, because you know exactly why things happen the way they happen, Lord God, and you have your reasons for them. So we just thank you, Lord God, and we know that all things work for the good to those who love you, Lord God. So we thank and praise you, Lord God. Lord God, we welcome you, Father, into this class, Lord God, that we may learn more about your word and become closer to you, Lord God. We do not take this time for granted, Lord God. We just take this time and we honor it, Lord God, because it's all about you, not about anybody else or anything else, but it's all about you, Lord God. So, Lord God, we open up this lesson in your precious Son Jesus' name. Amen. So, we were at Nahum, right?
No, we finished Nahum. We're at Habakkuk.
Oh,
yes.
We're at Habakkuk.
Habakkuk.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
We finished Nahum how many weeks ago?
Okay. So we're at Habakkuk. So we also had a homework assignment that we never got to talk about. And
Which
our homework assignment. The homework assignment was to determine in the New Testament how many times prophets were mentioned in the New Testament.
Okay, I didn't do that one. It's been so long ago.
And because one of the lessons, I think we were supposed to do it, it was back in Nahum where the prophet Nahum was mentioned in the New Testament. And one of the things that we found out was that you know, of course we know the New Testament confirms the Old Testament, meaning that the New Testament made references always to the Old Testament, but there were also prophets who were quoted in the New Testament. And one of the questions that we asked was, could you name a prophet from the Old Testament that was quoted in the New Testament?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the Old Testament, there was Isaiah
is quoted in the New Testament, whether they're quoted in the New Testament.
Right. And was
who talked about
Daniel?
Who talked about Isaiah?
Mm-hmm.
Who talked about Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
Who quoted them?
Oh, in I think it's in Matthew's or I can't remember if it was Matthew's or Mark.
Okay, I'm looking for my homework.
I
have it. I was so surprised when I did this. But let me find it first. Okay. Oh, man, that was a liar. Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to go on with the lesson,
okay.
And we'll go back to this next week because I have to find it. I did all that work for nothing.
I hear that.
Oh, God.
So the question was,
how many prophets from the Old Testament are quoted in the New Testament?
So how?
How many prophets in the Old Testament are quoted in the New Testament?
Is quoted. In the New Testament. Okay, so at least this way I can bring it up. Okay,
got it. Okay, I got the question written down.
Okay, cool.
So y'all can go look, search, do the research.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, yeah, there's a lot of information on here. It says that you know, Isaiah is quoted the most.
Right. Because I know Isaiah had quoted it in the Old Testament, but then I don't remember in the New Testament where he quoted it. Because I think
we was in Matthew's.
But what chapter and verse?
Right. And I had all of that. I had all that listed, and I had all that listed. I had the whole. I had like a whole bunch of stuff. So, for example, like here, and it says, let's see. Anyway, I will figure it. Anyway, we'll work on that for next week.
Yes.
I just got to find my what I did. Okay. So, Habakkuk. Let me see.
I say Habakkuk, but some people pronounce it as Habakkuk.
So we're going to see how you really pronounce it.
All right.
Because there are things there are go online and they tell you how to pronounce every word in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. I always pronounce it as Habakkuk. The last part is K-U-K, so it's Habakkuk.
How do you pronounce it?
I pronounce it Habakka, but
I know, but we're going to figure out how you really pronounce it.
Habakkuk.
I'm going to tell you how you really pronounce it.
Hello? Oh, okay.
I'll tell you how you really pronounce it. Wait, hold on. I'm listening to it now.
Is the attributed to the prophet. How do you about pronouncing his name? Habakkuk.
Habakkuk. Yes, that's how I was pronouncing it. But the writing, I mean, like the spelling tells you Habakkuk.
But it's Habakkuk.
Right.
Habakkuk.
Yes. I like that better anyway. Habakkuk.
Habakkuk. Yes. That's what this thing is saying. It is pronounced Habakkuk.
Yes.
Okay. So we're in the book of Habakkuk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Habakkuk looks at... Let me close that door there. Hold
on. Because we can't hear over him louder than we are. Oh, my gosh. Praise the Lord.
Okay, So Habakkuk looks at his native Judah, observes the violence and injustice on every hand, and cries out to God with some perplexing questions. Why are the wicked prospering in the midst of God's people? Why are the righteous beaten down? And why is God seemingly inactive and indifferent in the day of wickedness? God's reply is even more shocking than the conditions in Judah.
Okay.
God assures his prophet he is doing something. The Chaldeans, and you know, the Chaldeans are also, you know, the Babylonians are called the Chaldeans, too. They're known by both names. Chaldeans, the Chaldeans and the Babylonians are the same people. So it says here, the Chaldeans, a people even more corrupt than God's chosen nation, are about to descend as God's rod of chastening. When Habakkuk reacts with shock and dismay, God patiently instructs his messengers until at last the prophet is able to respond with a song of praise. And he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And that's verses 3 and 18. So the book of Habakkuk is broken up into, let's see if I can move this over. Right. That's better. So the book of Habakkuk, you have the problems of Habakkuk, and the praise of Habakkuk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Habakkuk. So the problems of Habakkuk was the first problem. You had the first problem. Mm-hmm. You had the first reply of God. Mm-hmm. Then you have the second problem. Mm-hmm. Then you have the second reply of God. And then you have the prayer of praise at the end.
Yes.
So in the beginning, his faith was troubled. What God is doing. Then his faith triumphs because of who God is.
All right.
And this all happens in Judah. This is the nation of Judah that this is happening. And it's in 607 B.C. So Habakkuk ministers during the death throes of the nation of Judah. Though repeatedly called to repentance, the nation stubbornly refuses to change her sinful ways. Habakkuk, knowing the hard-heartedness of his countrymen, asked God how long this intolerable condition can continue. And God replies that the Babylonians will be his chastening rod upon the nation. An announcement that sends the prophet to his knees. He acknowledged that the just in any generation shall live by faith, but not by sight. And that was in two and four, where it says, look, his spirit within him is puffed up. It is not upright, but the righteous shall live by his faithfulness. Habakkuk concludes by praising God's wisdom, even though he doesn't fully understand God's ways. Habakkuk is an unusual Hebrew name derived from the verb habak, which means to embrace. Thus, his name probably means one who embraces or clings. At the end of his book, his name becomes appropriate because Habakkuk chooses to cling firmly to God regardless of what happens to his nation. Mm-hmm. And that's in chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Can you get that, Hilda?
Yes. Okay. And 16 through 19 says, I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails, and the fields lie empty and barren. Even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. And that was for the prayer of the choir director.
Okay.
This prayer is to be accompanied by string instruments. Yeah.
So the author, in the introduction of the book, which is 1-1, we see it says the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. So we know he's the author. And the closing psalm, which is 3-1, which is, says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according to Shigonoth. So the author identifies himself as Habakkuk, the prophet. This special designation seems to indicate that Habakkuk was a professional prophet. The closing statement at the end of the psalm, to the chief musician with my string instrument, suggests that Habakkuk may have been a priest connected with the temple worship in Jerusalem, because he mentions nothing of his genealogy or location, but speculative attempts have been made to identify him with certain unnamed Old Testament characters. In the apocryphal book of Bel and the Dragon, Daniel is rescued a second time by the prophet Habakkuk.
Really? Mm-hmm. I didn't read that book.
And not in the Bible. Not in the Bible.
Oh, it's in the
yeah, book okay. of Bel.
Yes.
And the dragon. Yeah.
You read that book?
No, I never heard of it.
I never heard of it either. That's why I'm saying, like, okay.
Yeah, no, it's not in the Bible. Mm-mm.
Okay.
This is another book.
That's what the
apocryphal book. Yes, mm-hmm. not part of the Bible.
Okay.
So the only explicit time reference for Habakkuk is to the Babylonian invasion as an imminent event.
Hmm.
So the reference is that it was coming soon, that in other words, Babylon will be, you know, the invasion of Babylon was coming soon, it's imminent. And so we see that in chapter 1, verse 6, where he says, "For look, I'm raising up the Chaldees for the bitter and impetuous nation, the one who walks through the spacious places of earth to take possession of dwellings not belonging to it." So this is God letting them know. And then in 2:1, he says, "I will stand at my post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaints." And then again, 3:16, he says, "I hear my stomach shakes and my lips quiver when he heard what the Lord was going to do."
Mm-hmm.
Some scholars suggest Habakkuk was written during the reign of Manasseh.
That's
or Amon.
Was that the wicked? Yeah, the wicked one.
The worst. Yes, him and his son, Amon.
Uh-huh.
Right after him, his son, Amon.
Amon,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know what? I'm going to tell you something.
Huh.
If you don't know the Bible, you do some crazy things. You know, I have a great cousin named Amon.
Really?
And I'm sure his father did not know.
Not know.
What kind of name he was naming him.
No, he probably didn't.
He probably just heard the name and liked it, Amon.
And what does
and that's
it
exactly
mean?
How you spell his name. It's the same thing like Sapphire.
Yes.
Sapphire was a popular name, too. Mm-hmm. And Sapphire was Ananias' wife who died for lying.
For lying, yes.
Right. So people have named their kid Sapphire.
And you know what it means? It means a supreme god of the ancient Egyptians, identified with the sun god Ra, and in Greek and Roman times with Zeus, Zeus, and Jupiter
Zeus.
Under the name of Amon. Amon. You got to be careful what you name your children.
No, that's right. So he reigned during Manasseh and or Amon because the list of Judah's sins in 1, could you get, read 1:2-4?
Okay. Okay, it says, this is Habakkuk's complaint. It says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumbers the righteous, so that justice has become perverted." And that is absolutely right. Right now, we are going through that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are. So much wickedness in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like the police and them don't care.
Right. However, the description of the Chaldeans indicate that Babylon had become a world power. And this was not true at the time of Manasseh, when Babylon was under the thumb of Assyria.
Mm-hmm.
It is also unlikely that this prophecy took place in the time of King Josiah, because the moral spiritual reform of Josiah did not fit the situation, right? Because Josiah was a good king.
Yeah.
So, all of that stuff that was happening with Manasseh and Amon, once Josiah came, he was a good king. He got rid of all of that idolatry and stuff like that. So the most likely date of the book is in the early part of Jehoiakim's reign. And Jehoiakim was a godless king who led the nation down the path of destruction.
Wicked.
And that's in Kings.
Second.
You can read all about him in Second Kings 23:34, all the way to, it's a lot. It's like two chapters.
Yeah, two chapters.
Of them. Or you could just do Jeremiah 22:17. That's just one example of Jehoiakim's reign. And it said, but there is nothing in your eyes or your heart except for unlawful gain and on shedding the blood of the innocent and on committing oppression and exploitation. That's the only thing that was in Jehoiakim's mind.
Yeah, because he was a wicked king. Godless.
Mm-hmm. The Babylonians began to rise in power during the reign of Nabopolassar, and in 612 BC, that's when they destroyed the Assyrian capital of Nineveh. By the time of Jehoiakim, Babylon was the uncontested world power.
Wow.
Nabopolassar, the successor, Nebuchadnezzar, came to power in 605 BC and carried out successful military expeditions in the west, advancing into Palestine and Egypt. Nebuchadnezzar's first invasion of Judah occurred in his first year, when he deported 10,000 of Jerusalem leaders to Babylon. The noble who extorted from the poor were the first to be carried away. Since Habakkuk prophesied prior to the Babylonian invasion, the probable date of this book is 607 B.C., and this happened in 2 years later, 605 B.C. Okay, so the theme and purpose. The circumstances of life sometimes appear to contradict God's revelation concerning his power and purpose. Habakkuk struggled in his faith when he saw men flagrantly violating God's law and distort justice on every level without fear of divine intervention. What do you think about that? I've always felt like, you know, you see people who don't, you know, like even like sometimes you look at the rich and you feel like they do everything against God, but they get richer and richer. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they seem to have everything. They seem to have, you know, everything that you don't have. And you wonder, like, These people are so wicked. How do they get to be so rich? How do they get to be famous? How do they get to be?
I always say that these people sold their souls to the devil to get what they have. Because God doesn't mind us having, but it's what you do with what he gives to you.
Right.
You know, how you use it. If you use it for good or you use it for wickedness, then, you know, you, as far as I'm concerned, you just sold your soul to the devil, because the more evil stuff you do, the richer you get. And it's like, you know, in their eyes, they don't see the wrong that they do.
Right. Well, like I said, they don't have any fear of divine intervention.
Nope, they don't. But then
they
believe in God. They think that everything that they have, they achieved it on their own.
Right, right, right. And I mean, we know what's going to happen. You know, we know God's plan to destroy this earth. Like his plan was for them to be taken over by Babylon. I mean, we know what's to come, you know. But sometimes, you know, even as Christians, we ask, you know, why does God let this happen? Why does God let that happen? Or why does God let these people get away with this? You know, why was racism so prevalent in this country? You know what I'm saying? And still is. You know, why black people suffer so badly? You know, have suffered so badly, you know, in this country and all out the world, you know, people of color, you know, have suffered against European, you know, exploitation and European oppression.
It's because our rewards are not of this world.
Yeah.
As long as we believe in God and what, like Paul says, we have to learn to be content with what we have down here, because we're only here for a short time. We're just passing through. You know, this is not our permanent home. And a lot of people, they don't see that. They just assume, oh, I'm going to live forever down here. No.
Yes.
That's what they have in their pea brains.
Yeah. Because nobody wants to leave here.
But they say everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Right.
You can't get to heaven unless you die.
All right. This body got to go. Oh, boy. Amen. So,
and if you notice today, like, the majority of people that is being taken out of this world is our young generation. Because last night or the night before that, four more young teenagers were shot. So this is the kind of world that we're living in.
Yeah. And we have no idea, you know, what type of salvation they have, whether they're going to spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell.
Exactly.
We have no idea.
No.
Let's see. Okay, so Habakkuk wanted to know why God was allowing growing iniquity to go unpunished. When God revealed his intention to use Babylonia as his rod of judgment, Habakkuk was even more troubled. Because that nation was more corrupt than Judah.
Wow.
God's answer. So if you can get chapter 2, verses 2 through 20, this is God's answer.
All right. This is God's answer to Habakkuk. And God said, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my God post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. The Lord's second reply. You said two, right?
2 to 20.
Okay.
Chapter 2, verse 2 to 20.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Lord's second reply. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This invasion is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by faith, by their faithfulness to God. Wealth is treacherous, and the arrogant are never at rest. They open their mouths as wide as the grave, and like death, they are never satisfied. In their greed, they have gathered up many nations and swallowed many people. But soon, their captives will taunt them. They will mock them, saying, what sorrow awaits you thieves? Now you will get what you deserve. You have become rich by extortion. But how much longer can this go on? Suddenly, your debtors will take action. They will turn on you and take all you have while you stand trembling and helpless because you have plundered many nations. Now, all the survivors will plunder you. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence. What sorrow awaits you who build big houses with money gained dishonestly? You believe your wealth will buy security, putting your family's nest beyond the reach of danger? But by the murderers you commit, you have shamed your name and forfeit your life. The very stones in the walls cry out against you, and the beams in the ceiling echo the complaint. What sorrow awaits you who build cities with money gained through murder and corruption? Has not the Lord of heaven's armies promised that the wealth of nations will turn to ashes? They worked so hard, but all in vain. For as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory of the Lord. What sorrow awaits you who make your neighbors drunk, for you force your cup on them so you can gloat over their shameful nakedness. But soon it will be your turn to be disgraced. Come, drink and be exposed. Drink from the cup of the Lord's judgment, and all your glory will be turned to shame. Cut down the forests of Lebanon. Now you will be cut down. You destroyed the wild animals, so now their terror will be yours. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence. What good is an idol carved by man, or a cast image that deceives you? How foolish to trust in your own creation, a God that cannot even talk. What sorrow awaits you who say to wooden idols, wake up and save us. To speechless stone, images you say, rise up and teach us. Can an idol tell you to do? They may be overlaid with gold and silver, but they are lifeless inside. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Praise
God. Wow. Oh,
what a beautiful answer God answered.
Oh, yes.
The wicked, they think that they're getting away with something. No, they're not. Their judgment day will be coming.
Every single living thing that they did, God just outlined it. You'll get away with
nothing.
God sees, knows everything.
Everything. Praise be to God.
Wow. There
is nothing on this earth that you could do that God do not know about.
That's right. That is so true. So,
and then even in here in the scripture, it was telling us that, you know, back in the day when the mafias and all of them were killing people and taking over their territories, their money, their houses, their wives, their children. It's the same thing that was happening today.
Yeah.
But only in a different and smart way.
Yes.
They're more advanced than they were back then. But the corruption still there.
Still there. So God's answer satisfied Habakkuk that he could trust him even in the worst of circumstances because of his matchless wisdom, goodness, and power. God's plan is perfect, and nothing is big enough to stand in the way of its ultimate fulfillment. In spite of appearances to the contrary, God is still on the throne as the Lord of history and the ruler of nations.
Amen.
Yahweh may be slow to wrath,
but
all iniquities will eventually be punished. He is the worthiest object of faith, and the righteous man will trust him at all times.
All time. Not some time, not a little time, but all time.
All time, yes.
Oh, praise be to God.
Absolutely. And so for homework, let's just read the whole chapter 3, because chapter 3 is also the key chapter of the book.
Okay.
It's chapter 3, so we'll read the all of chapter 3. I don't know how many chapters in here.
Only 3.
Oh, okay. So we can do all. We can read all 3. We can read the whole book.
I think we did. We read that like 2 or 3 times, but we never got to it.
Really?
Yes. Remember? You forgot.
I did.
You had told us to read Habakkuk when we were still going to the ending of Nahum, and you said to read all 3 chapters of Habakkuk because it was short. And we did. And then the following week, something happened. And but we still read the chapters. And then the week after that, something happened. So this is the first time we're back.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I need a refresher, so I'm going to read it again.
Okay.
But we just did chapter 2, though. You just read the whole of chapter 2.
Yes.
We did. That was the whole thing.
It was beautiful. I love the way that God answered.
Oh, my goodness.
That he answered Habakkuk's questions.
because Habakkuk was really upset that why is these wicked people are being so prosperous and the poor people are getting poor?
Right, right.
So God,
he was upset with that, but then he was also upset that, that God was going to send the worst country to take.
That's
like,
right.
How would you say? That's like me, you know. You know, like you say, you send your child is being disobedient. You send a bully to beat up your child. I'm gonna get a bully to beat your butt. But the worst. God chose the worst.
The
nation
worst.
To chastise
those Babylonians. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
They were bad. Back in them days, those kings and them were terrible people.
Yeah. When
you had very few good kings, but the rest of them,
They didn't even listen to
the prophets. Not even to God's prophets they listened to.
No, and then forget the Babylonian kings. They didn't know nothing about no prophet. They weren't God's chosen people, so they had no idea what's right and wrong. Or
their gods were idols.
So they just did what they wanted to do.
Absolutely.
Literally.
Absolutely.
But anyway, you want to pray us out?
Amen. Father God. We come this evening to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and to thank you for this wonderful lesson. Thank you for answering Habakkuk's prayer that his questions, why is the wicked is being so prosperous, but everything works out in your time and not ours. We can ask the questions we want to ask, but nothing happen until you say so, Lord God. And we thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning clothed in our right mind, divine healings in our bodies, Lord God. We thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. We thank you for our teacher this evening who brought us such a beautiful lesson, explanation, and how we just break down the verses by verses, Lord God. And thank you for your word that said the Bible, Lord God, that whatever questions we have and with the answers that we need, we just have to open it up and it's right there, Lord God. Thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you for everything that you're going to do. Bless each and every one of us this evening, Lord God. Bless the fivefold. Bless the house of the Lord online ministry. Bless our pastor and first lady. Bless Block Talk Radio. Even bless Pray One for Another, Lord God, because you know we are here. Pray for one another. To ask that you continue to watch over each and every one of us, Lord God, and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Let your will be done, not our will, Father God, but your will be done. Thank you for Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, that we may have eternal life, Lord God. Thank you for that. And then all these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise be to God.
Amen. Thank you. I keep forgetting to tell you. You know,
what's
Reverend
that?
Price is not a pastor. She's never been a pastor.
Huh?
Reverend Price is not a pastor. She's never been a pastor.
Then what is she?
She's a reverend. A pastor is somebody who's ahead of a church. Pastors are people who have a church.
Yes. Okay,
she's never had a church. She's a reverend.
Yes.
So just Reverend Price, not pastor. Pastors are people who
calling her pastor all this time.
Deacon says Reverend Price.
But I know you've been calling her pastor.
I call her pastor ever since I've been on there.
I know. Okay. And every time you say it, I'll be like, I got to tell him. I keep forgetting to tell you.
Well,
that's,
you know
not
what?
A pastor. Because she don't
my
have
lips,
she's never had a church.
Yeah, from my lips to God's ears. We do not know what God has in store for us.
He's a pastor.
No, we don't know what God has in store for us. Yeah, but... Yeah,
but hey,
like,
if you want me to call, I will call her by her proper name, Reverend Price. Okay. I call everybody
yeah, Reverend
pastor or minister.
Well, minister, everybody can be a minister. Reverend, usually,
mm-hmm.
You have to be ordained or go to school. I know at convent, she was at convent. There's a process to be, because
uh-huh.
we have ministers at convent, but all the ministers of convent are not reverends. Reverend
okay.
is another step. And some people who've been ministers for a long time at convent end
yes.
up leaving convent so that they can become a reverend, because sometimes
uh-huh.
pastors take a long time to make you a reverend or whatever it is to ordain them to be a reverend. And I know a few of the ministers at convent who left convent and went to other churches and became reverends at other Baptist churches.
Oh,
but
okay.
But so reverend is, and it's almost like you have to be a reverend to be a pastor in the Baptist church. In American Baptist Church
yes.
hierarchy,
uh-huh.
that's how it goes. You go from minister to reverend. And if you, you know, you can go from reverend to pastor. But pastor is, and the reason why I'm saying this is because, you know, there was a big thing. When my pastor died, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the ministers, reverends of our church, Reverend Logan, who been with our pastor for a long time. He was a youth minister downstairs. Everybody loved Reverend Logan. And we voted. But one of
mm-hmm.
the questions that they put on the, because they sent us all an application
yes.
to fill out, a questionnaire. And people
uh-huh.
put, one of the questions is, you know, does the new pastor have to have been a pastor in the past? And everybody put yes. They wanted whoever's the pastor that we were going to get, we wanted one who had experience being a pastor. So everybody put yes. So when we went to vote for Reverend Logan, he lost because he'd never been a pastor. And people were upset. But what we put on the application was that we wanted somebody who had experience being a pastor, and Reverend Logan never was a pastor, so therefore he couldn't become the pastor of Convent Avenue Baptist Church based on the fact that we asked for somebody who had already been a pastor. So
okay.
usually, you know, so because the responsibility of a pastor goes far beyond preacher, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know
yeah.
that. It's like the pastor literally is the head. He does. He runs the church. All of the, you know, they're
yes.
like the president,
right, right.
And in a church setting, so yeah, so yeah. Robert's saying spiritual leader, but yeah. So I just wanted to tell you that.
Okay, so on Sunday I would say Reverend Price. So no, but I'm still in my mind. As far as I'm concerned, she's still a pastor. You know, I'm just
okay.
But I won't say it out loud. But I'll
yeah.
say it in silently in God's ears,
because mm-hmm.
that's
right,
all I know
right.
her as Pastor Price. You know,
mm-hmm.
so hey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you live and learn. But is that in the Bible?
Huh?
Is it in
that
the Bible?
Hierarchy?
Yeah.
No, those are hierarchies that the American Baptists, you know, each, you know, like they have those.
Yeah, so that's
even
a
like
man
if you go
made,
to
that's a
bishop.
Man made law.
Right,
no.
like certain churches, I don't know what
denomination has bishops. Like, because Baptists don't have bishops. I don't know what denomination has
bishops. I think bishops are like, you know, those apostle churches.
I think it's an African.
Like, African. No, because Pastor Kathy was.
Church.
Yeah, Pastor Kathy was taught under different bishops in California. I don't know what's, you know.
I think those are the apostolic churches, like Sharon. Because Sharon talks about my bishop. So it's that denomination that has the bishops.
Yeah.
And I think also maybe the African Methodist.
Yes.
I think they have bishops.
But isn't T.D. Jake, he's a bishop also?
I don't know. I don't know.
I always hear them call him Bishop T.D. Jake.
Bishop T.D. Jake?
Yeah.
Let me see. Then that's his denomination. But I know in the Baptist church, there's no bishop.
No. Not in Baptist. Because I think you have to go to school to become a bishop.
You gotta go to school to become a pastor.
Exactly.
At least at convent. They want you to be educated. Bishop.
Yeah, right. I mean, like back in the day that when Paul and them was going around preaching, they didn't have no schooling or nothing. They just taught the word of
preachers.
God.
They were preachers. That's it. They were preachers.
That's it.
And they just
thank
the
you.
Word.
Yeah. Well, now
but,
they want to put a title on everything. But you can have a title, but if you don't have the backings of that title, then what's the sense of having it?
Right. Well, Catholics definitely have bishops.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Catholics, they're bishops. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
So, thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome. I kept forgetting to say something. I'm sorry. But anyway.
But you know me. I'm going to still forget and call her Pastor Bryce.
That's fine. And you know what? That's okay. You know, that is okay. Because I'm sure, she's so chill. She's so chill about everything. She's like.
Yes.
I love her. She's just the greatest.
Yes.
But anyway, she won't let me. I know she's, she's so stubborn though, but I texted her. I told her I was going to come by and, cook for her and see whatever she needs done around the house.
No,
let me know.
She still got her pride.
She's
an independent person. And people that is independent, it's very hard for you to try to do things.
I know.
Because I know how she feels because I'm the same way. I have been independent all my life. And I just feel like God gives me the strength to wake me up every day. Then he will give me the strength to continue doing what he has for me to do. So you can't blame her for that, Some people just feel like they don't want to lose their independence. They don't want to really depend on anybody until it is absolutely necessary.
Mm.
Yeah. You'll find out as you get older in life.
I hope I accept help, okay? I don't want to be like somebody who won't accept help. I'm sorry. I'm not, I really hope and pray that I will be willing to accept help from somebody.
Yeah.
Because I think also, we have to be, you say prideful. God doesn't want us to be prideful. Pride is not an attribute that God wants us to have.
We forget, we feel like.
But that's true. I mean, that's part of, those are part of the fruits, the fruits of the Spirit.
Of the Spirit.
Is to be humble not to be proudful, not to feel like I'm too proud to let somebody help me.
Me,
you know,
I ain't never too
proud
to help. Depends
each other.
On what it is, though. It depends on what it is that, you know, they you want to do for the person, because certain things the person don't, you know, they don't want to be dependent on anybody.
Listen, I deal with you know patients as they get older and they need help. I mean, it's one thing to say I can still do this for myself. It's another thing to say I can still do this for myself, and you really can't still do it for yourself.
Of course.
You know, but because you don't want to accept help, you know, you're putting yourself at risk, or you're putting yourself at danger trying to do for yourself something that you really can't.
Yes, and especially if you live alone.
Right.
But, you know.
I don't know.
Trust and believe,
when
she really, really going to need your help, she will call you. She'll let you know.
That's how I feel, too.
Yeah.
I feel like, I pray she would. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know if she would, but I pray that she would. So.
She might just surprise you and say, Nadine, can you do so-and-so for me? Don't be surprised. You know, we just got to have patience and just give her time. Eventually, she will come around, you know. But right now, she just, you know, don't want to let go of that independence.
But she didn't even want me to come to the hospital. I didn't know what hospital. She would tell me what hospital she was in. She would tell me.
A lot of people don't want. They do not want their church members to see them in the hospital.
I
want to
come.
No.
I'm like, I want to come visit you. Where are you?
No.
No. It's okay. I'm like, all right. So, I left it alone.
Exactly. Yeah. So trust and believe me, if I get sick, I want everybody in the world to come and see me. Pray for me.
I hear that. That's it. Thank you. Pray for
come
me.
And give
come
me,
visit me.
Give me my hugs and kisses and prayers.
Yeah, I know that's right. While I'm still here.
What hospital? I'm in so-and-so hospital. Visiting hours with so-and-so. Just bring me whatever you feel that I can have. That's it.
Exactly, Hilda. That's it. You got that right. You got
absolutely.
That right.
Oh, all right. My heart rate is good. What is my heart rate? 79.
Oh, that's normal.
Yep, 79 beats per minute. And
resting
rate. Oh, my resting rate is 62. Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
And my walking average today was 99. My sister walked the heck out of me today.
Oh,
you know that.
What do you mean 99? 9,000.
Walking average, it says 99 BPM. What? That's 99 beats per minute.
You should be able to, for your
walking.
You mean for your heart rate? What you looking at, your phone?
And my watch is giving me
my
heart rate.
No, look for your
rate.
Steps. Yeah, but look and see how many steps you did.
Oh, it's not giving me that. Right now it's just giving me the heart rate, the resting rate, and the walking rate average. That's it. Well, I mean, I feel fine.
It gives you the total, like if you, I have to show it to you on your watch, because it'll tell you
your
total steps.
And you know what?
Like my total,
since I get the new phone, I cannot, my watch is not compared to it.
Pairing with it.
Right.
Yeah, mine won't pair either. What, but yours is more, what thing is your watch? Mine is a 3.
Mine's just a
what
4,
is your,
I think.
If yours is a 4, then it should pair. I think mine's just too old to pair with it.
Mine's probably old too, because I know right now they got the 5 and 6. So I may have to, in order to compare with the 13, I may have to get the next one up or the last one. But I'm definitely not getting
too.
7. I'm not getting the 7. Because they said it don't make no sense for you to get the 7.
What is the 7? I don't know what that is.
The watch is the watch, the iWatch 7.
Oh, that's the last series?
Yeah, that's the last one.
Okay, no, you just got to get enough of the series to pair with the phone. Cause mine's a series 3, and that's old.
Well, it's only a
so
year.
This is
I
not
mean,
pairing
old,
that old,
a little
13.
Older than mine, because mine's is the 4.
So yours is more modern than mine.
Yeah.
But I'm going to just
I'll
go online and see what series.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you. When I check it, I'll let you know what series you need. The minimum series to pair with the...
Yeah.
To pair with the flow. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but I was going to go to T-Mobile to find out, you know, to let them pair it to the phone. And if it doesn't pair, that means I have to buy the next one up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I'll let you know when I figure out.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
All right. So
I'll bring your ticket on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
When
cool.
you say it is again?
December 18th at 8:00.
Okay.
That's
so I got to write that on my calendar so I don't forget.
Yep.
So you know me, but the day will come and I'll be like, oh, I forgot.
I won't let you forget.
Oh, please don't let me forget, because you know me.
No, I wouldn't let you forget.
Like that, I forgot. You know, I was gonna say, you know, they moved the old store from down by the Apple store. Cause I went to buy me a pair of boots. The Uggs.
Yeah.
We went down there downtown Manhattan to buy a pair of boots. And
right.
We went but they're not there no more. You know where they went in? They went inside of Macy's. You know the Macy's on 34th
Street. Oh, but there's a Uggs store on the corner on Fifth Avenue.
Nope, they moved from there. They're no longer there. That's where we went. And we walked all up and down the avenue looking for it. And then my sister went on the Google it to find out where it is. And they said that it's inside of Macy's.
Oh, wow.
After we did all that walking, I was so mad with my sister. And she caused me to get back here late and everything. Yeah, they're no longer there because that's the one we wanted to go to because everything was laid out and you can see the choices. But they put a little spot inside of Macy's on 34th Street.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because I could have sworn I saw it. Oh my goodness!
They've been.
I guess the one. I wonder if the one is still in the village. They used to have one down in the village too.
Oh, where's the village? The last down by Brooklyn Bridge or something? So.
No, I forgot where that was. Did y'all go into Macy's? Because they don't have too much of a selection then, right?
Yeah, they have a large selection.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
Oh, yeah, have a large selection in Macy's.
Oh, good.
A lot of the stores, they I guess, bought space inside of Macy's.
Yeah, which makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, it does. Like a lot of them, you know, they still there, but they also bought an outlet inside of Macy's.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a nice, you know, a nice pair.
Oh, you did? Oh, good.
Yeah.
They're the best things to wear in the winter.
Yes, that's what my sister said. You, and with those, you don't even have to put on socks.
No, I don't wear socks.
She don't either.
I don't wear socks.
She said, you don't need to wear no socks. Those boots are so nice and toasty. Oh,
they
God,
are
yeah.
toasty.
I said, if
they
I mess around,
best.
If I mess around with my sister, I will be broke. Cause she's a shopaholic.
Yeah, no, they're definitely not cheap, but they're the best thing to wear in the winter. I'm like, I don't know. I've been wearing Uggs for a very long time. I don't remember my feet being cold. Cause I remember them days when you outside waiting for the bus and your toes,
oh,
your feet, you can't
yes.
feel your feet. They're so freezing.
That's right. Uh huh. Absolutely.
Since Uggs, I've never felt that feeling ever.
She, you know that child have 9 pairs of UGG boots.
Yes,
anytime,
I can believe
yeah, you. I was like, why you buy so many boots? You don't even go anywhere. She said, girl, I work hard for my money and I deserve everything that I buy. I said, well, of course. Because, you know, all her children are grown and, you know, and things. So she,
yeah.
now she retired and now she's enjoying what she worked for. So if you want to
right,
buy
right,
books,
right.
that go right ahead, honey. You know you're paying
yeah.
for the name,
and you
too.
Just got to get a pair of the, you know, because they have the water resistant ones for the snow. You only need
yeah.
like 2 pairs of Uggs. One
right.
pair for the
exactly.
snow, and then another pair. But I got more than I got. I have
quite
four.
A few.
I have a black. Mm-hmm. I have a gray. I have a tan, and I have like a leopard short one, leopard color short one.
Yeah, I tried that one on, but I didn't like it.
The leopard one, the tie up. Little short
I said
tie
next,
up ones. Yeah, they kind
next
of,
time, maybe next year or so, I'll get the gray. Because I got the black
uh-huh.
and the tan.
Okay.
I got the
yeah,
one that
yeah.
comes up by your kneecap, under the
uh-huh.
knee, and it has the cute
right.
little ribbons in the back.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
I got
good.
That one, and then I got a short ankle one where, like, I could wear, like, every day when the weather's cold.
Uh-huh.
And just wear it with,
yeah.
You know, I'm trying to find those, the heavy leggings, the ones with the lining.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't seem to find them.
You
and
know
not,
who I found that have the best
leggings?
Because I always wear leggings on the
yeah.
jeans in the winter. You know,
right.
I always wear leggings on the jeans. And
exactly.
I have, there's a store called Uniqlo. As a matter of
Uniqlo?
Fact, I was going to pick up some more. The
mm-hmm.
store is called Uniqlo. And they have
uh-huh.
really good, their brand is called Heatex. And they're really good leggings, but
yes.
they're warm, but they're not bulky. Like, they're not thick and bulky, but they're
yeah,
very
that's
warm.
That's what
heat,
I want them to wear under the jeans. So, but I don't want them
right.
to make me look fatter than I am.
Yeah, no, and they fit pretty good under the jeans, the Heatex. They call
yes.
Heatex.
And,
uh-huh. yeah, Uniqlo.
Uniqlo
is the name of the store.
Oh, okay. Where they located?
How do you spell it?
You
I'm
know,
gonna tell you in a minute. There's a few of them.
Uniqlo. Uniqlo.
Wait. I'm gonna give you the right spelling, but that's not.
Okay.
I think they're Japanese owned.
Oh. They make good stuff because that's all those people wear.
All right, I have to look at something that I have. I'll text it to you.
Well, when you find it, just text it to me.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
All right. So you have a wonderful night, and I will see you on Friday.
Friday. Yep. Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm not playing the music. I'm just shutting us down.